All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is daf Samech. We have a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. We are picking up from Nuntes Amud Beis 59b, three lines up from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Hayi Chavisa de Chamra. We'll say we are still into Yayin Nesach. Hayi Chavisa de Chamra. Dishtakel Labarzo. We'll say this is actually a fascinating case. There was a particular barrel of wine. Dishtakel Labarzo. We'll say means the spigot was removed. The spigot was removed. So what happens? Asa obeko chavim, idri, anach yadei iluya. So what happens? The Akum comes along, the Akum comes running, and he places his hand on the opening of the spigot. So remember again, the Akum is actually trying to save the Yisrael from a loss. Right? So he puts his hand by the spigot in an offer to prevent the wine from flowing out. So look at Rashi, it says, idri obeko chavim, kavats obeko chavim, lasha no se yukimo dari tuna, kolomar, first of all, there's an incredibly profound lesson in this Gemara. What Rashi's pointing out over here is as follows. There's extra wording here. The Lashon of Idri means he lifted himself up. He lifted himself up and he went to go ahead and plug up the hole. We'll say, what's the pshat? So Rashi says, that's what Rashi says. Idri is Lashon Nose. He lifted himself up to stand up. And he ran to save the wine. Both say, what's the pshat? Why do I need this lashon? Meaning, you understand, it's unnecessary lashon. Just say, he plugged up the spigot. What do you mean? Both say, it's an incredible lesson. The lesson is that man prefers to be in a natural state of rest. That when given the choice, we almost always choose inaction. Inaction. Matter, mass, likes to be at rest. If you want to accomplish things in life, so ultimately, again, a person is going to have to push themselves. Idri means lahagbia person, higbia vinosa atzmo. You want to accomplish something in life? The truth is, my natural proclivity and predisposition is to sit in my chair. I like to sit, I like to look, I like to have ideas, I like to tell people what to do, but I prefer not to move myself. You want to accomplish something in life, you want to plug up the holes of existence? Idri, higbia v'nasa atzma. A person has to push themselves in order to engage in dynamic activity. In any event, so what happens? So the Ovi Kochavim comes along, plugs up the hole. Anach yadei iluya, amra papa. So we'll say, so the obvious shayla now is what? What's the status of the wine? So that papa says something very interesting. Kol de la hadi bar zechamra aser. Rashi, look at Rashi just a moment. Kol de la hadi bar zechamra aser. Kiluach hasamach lenekev aser b'shtia v'lo b'ana. Shari in kan shichshuch shanekev tzar ve'ino yachol l'shachshik. So we'll say, if Huna says, Rav Papa says, any wine that is by the area of the spigot will be aser. So any wine by the area of the spigot will be aser. I will say now, Rashi points out over here, this is Aser B'shtia B'nat B'hano. Why? Because I will say, remember again, the Ovid Kochavim isn't seeing, there's different yourselves here. Some say that what he's doing is he's actually putting his finger into the spigot in order to plug it. Others say that he's going ahead and he's putting his hand on the outside of the spigot. Either way, Rav Papa says, it's only the wine by the spigot area that ultimately is going to be Aser because that's the wine he came in contact with. It'll be Aser B'shtia, but not Bahano. We're not really choshish that this is Yayin Nesach because at the end of the day, there's no room for shichshuch. There's no room for him to move his hand around. So he can't drink it, but it's Mutter Bahano. Both say top of Samech. V'idach Shari. But the rest of the barrel is absolutely mutter. Now Rashi points out over here, v'idach shari af b'shtia. Rashi says the rest of the barrel is going to be mutter even for consumption. The kasavar studin lav chibar le'asar kala yayin. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Rav Papa holds that lemaisa, again, the wine is not considered to be connected. So because it's not considered to be connected, only the wine by the spigot will be aser, the rest will be mutter. V'ikad da'amri, we'll say there's an alternate version of this exchange. Amar Rav Papa, ad habarza chamra asir v'idach shari. So we'll say, interestingly enough, so there's another version. We'll say in this other version, the Gemara says, Rav Papa says, ad habarza. What does that mean, ad habarza? Look at Rashi. Ad habarza. Kol yayin shalamala lenekev aser. Techevan dekulo nimshach achar hanekev latzeis derech sham haveli chibav aser. So we'll say in this version as follows. Now, what's interesting about this is the following. So you would think that it appears that during times of the Gemara, these barrels, these larger barrels had a spigot. The spigot was not all the way on the bottom of the barrel. It was towards the bottom, but there was a wine level that was above the spigot and below the spigot. I will say in this alternate version of Rav Papa, what's happening over here is as follows. Ata barza means the wine up until the area of the spigot will be usher bishtia, will be usher for drinking. V'idach, but anything below the spigot will be mutter afilu bishtia, even to drink. What's the distinction there? I will say, what's the svara in this Ikad Da'amri? The svara is that the Ovid Kochavim we know came in contact with the wine at the spigot area. The wine at the spigot area in this version is considered to be supporting all of the wine above it. And therefore, again, there's a chibur, there's a connection. Therefore, we view it as if what? The alkum has touched the wine at the spigot and all of the wine above that level. Therefore, all of that wine becomes aser b'shtiyah. And I both said, there's good news here. The good news is I can't drink it, but at least Baruch Hashem, it's mutter ba'ano. So I could sell it. I could definitely go ahead. I'm hopefully not going to lose money from this. Any wine below the spigot area, I both say, is considered to be a separate and detached entity from the wine above it. And therefore, again, it becomes mutter even b'shtiyah. So I both say, these are the two versions of Rav Papa. Amar Rav Yemar. Shabbos Rav Yemar said as follows. Rav Yemar says as follows. Okay, so Amar Rav Yemar. Kitanoi. Shabbos Rav Yemar suggested, indeed, this is a machlokes tanoim. Chavis shenakva. So we'll say, if you have a chavis. Now we'll say, this actually is not talking about yayin esek, this is talking about wine of truma. So if I have a barrel of truma wine, shenakva. And again, there's a hole in the barrel. Bein mi piha, bein mi shuleha, bein mi tzideha. We'll say whether that hole in the barrel is on the top, whether it's on shuleha means the bottom, or mi tzideha. Mi tzideha, we'll say, ultimately means what? That it's on the sides. So we'll say, now what happens? V'naga ba tvul yom. So we'll say, remember again, who's a tvul yom? Tvul yom is a person who is tameh, went to the mikvah, but requires her of shemesh. Remember, not every form of mikvah is immediate. Not every form of tumah is immediately remedied through immersion in mikvah. Sometimes you need the setting of the sun. That's our tvul yom. So now what happens? The tvul yom touches the truma wine. So we'll say, or I should say, he plugs up the hole in the barrel. So what's the halacha? So whether he plugged up the hole on the top, on the bottom, or on the side, tameh, ultimately again, the wine will be tameh. Rabbi Huda says no. Mipia mishula tameh. If you plug up the wine, right? If he plugs up a hole on the top or on the bottom of the barrel, ultimately again it's going to go ahead and be tameh. Mitzideha tahora. But ultimately, I should say mitzideha tahora mikan mikan. But ultimately, you know, we'll say if he plugs up the hole on the side, so the wine on both sides will still remain mutter. So we'll say. So the Gemara is just suggesting that this same machlokas that applies by the barrel of truma wine and the negia, ultimately the touching of that wine by the tvul yom, will be the same machlokes ultimately that exists in the case of the akum as well. So the two different versions of Rav Papa, Rav Osei, essentially in version number one, we have only the wine that is opposite the area of the spigot is going to be usher, and in version number two, any wine at the spigot area and above it will be usher b'shtia, anything below it ultimately again will be mutter. I thought I brought the Shulchan Aruch with me. I could be that I did not. If I didn't, I owe it to you, Amir Tzashem, over Shabbos. Okay, I didn't bring it with me. I apologize. Okay, we'll come back to the Aloha Lamaisa. Amir Papa. So we'll say so again. That's case number one. So case number one is the Ovid Kochavim is plugging up the spigot either with his hand or just by inserting his finger. There is no shikshuch. There is no movement of the hand. What's the Aloha? Two different versions of Rav Papa. Version one, the wine opposite the spigot area is going to be aser, but the rest of aser b'shtia, but the rest of the wine is mutter, even ba'na. Version number two, all of the wine at the spigot area and above the spigot area will be aser, but everything below it will be mutter. Gemara suggests the same machlokes that applies by yayin esech will be the same exact machlokes that applies ultimately again by a chavis of truma, by ultimately truma wine. So says the Gemara. Amar Papa, Rabbi said this is another fascinating case. Ovid kochavim adana, v'yisrael akuba. Let's listen to this, Rabbi said. Now what you have over here is as follows. So remember again, you would have wine in a barrel. Now, obviously, you're going to pour that barrel. You're not going to keep wine in the barrel, but you're going to pour it into smaller utensils. So what happens if the Oved Kochavim is the one who is holding or manipulating the barrel? He's pouring the barrel. Oved Kochavim Adana, the Yisrael Akuva. And the Yisrael is holding the smaller utensils. So the Oved Kochavim is tilting the barrel. The Yisrael is holding the smaller jug in order to receive the contents of the barrel. So we'll say, what's Ta'alocha? Ta'alocha is Asir. Right? So the Chamra Asir. Ultimately, again, the wine is Asir. The wine is Asir. My time, what's the reason for that? Ki Kasi Mikoach Oved Kochavim Kasi. Why did I both say? Because as that wine is being poured, it's being poured out the Koach of the Oved Kochavim. But say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Oved Kochavim Adana, Ma'ara Hayayim Midana Lekuva. So both say, so the Oved Kochavim is pouring the wine from the barrel into the smaller utensil. The Yisrael Akuva, the Yisrael holding the smaller utensil, the Okso Biado, Chamra Asir, Rashi says, Bahano. They both say, now again, this is very dramatic because Rashi's saying over here that Asr means not just Asr B'shtia, but Asr Bahano. Da'ainu nam yayin shemazgu ovid kochavim v'kochohu v'asar nalei mishum leich leich amrina l'nazir. So we'll say, remember again, this is another example of the case of kocho. This is the case where, remember again, although the paradigmatic case of Yayin Esech or Stam Yein, Amar Rabbah says what, is where the Akum is actually manipulating the wine himself, in this case over here, it's Kocho. This is no different. Again, what was our first case of Kocho? Our first case of Kocho is where the Akum was pouring the wine, the water, into the wine to dilute the wine. So therefore, the Gemara suggests over here, so too over here, the wine is being moved, Kocho, as a result of the Akrabos. So this is even more direct, because remember what's happening over here, as opposed to the water case, where the mice, again, I'm pouring something that agitates the wine. Here, the Oved Kochavim is agitating the wine himself. And therefore, again, it will be Asr. Next case, Yisrael Adana va'Oved Kochavim Akuva Chamra. But so what about the other case? Flip case. The Yisrael is going ahead and tilting the barrel, and what is the Akum doing? He's holding the receptacle. So we'll say, in this case over here, Bepashtos, the Gemara says, Chamra Shari. Why is the wine mutter? I will say, why is the wine mutter? Because Bepashtos, what is the Akum doing? What is he doing? Nothing. Nothing. Hopefully, all he's doing is he's just sitting there holding the jug in place, right? His job is to make sure that the jug does not tip over and spill the contents, but he's not moving or agitating the wine. So because of that, the wine should be totally mutter. Aye, but im et sadei tzedudei asir. I will say, if he moves the jug around, right, if he's meshach sheikh the jug, then ultimately, again, the wine is going to be asir. Amar Papa. Hi, Oved Kochavim, Didari Zeka, Vika'azu Yisrael Achore. So let's listen to this. Let's say now you have an Oved Kochavim. Now, both say, Didari Zeka, Rashi says, he's carrying a Zeka. What's a Zeka, Rashi says? Nud Kashur. It is a wineskin, right? A leather wineskin that is tied up. So the Akum is carrying the leather wineskin, but the good news is it's tied. What happens? Vika'azu Yisrael Achore. And the Yisrael is following behind him. So we'll say, so now what's the status of the wine in the wineskin? So Malya Shari. If the wineskin is full, then ultimately again the wine will be mutter. Why? Dilo Mekarkish. Because I will say, since the wineskin is really full, you can't really agitate the wine. In other words, because it's full, there's sort of seek nowhere for the wine to move. Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, the Ka'asi Yisrael Achorei, the Chazi Dele Naga Ovid Kochav Megava. And I will say now, the idea over here is, the Yisrael is following behind the Akum, so that at the end of the day, the Yisrael knows that the Akum did not open the wineskin and insert his hand on the inside. So he sees him, he knows he's not inserting his hand on the inside. So the Shaila is there a shikshuk? Is there some type of external agitation of the wine in order to go ahead and render it asr? We're saying that's not really happening. Why? Because the wineskin is full. If the wineskin is full, ultimately, again, there's no real place for the wine to move. So the Gemara says, therefore, again, I lost the place. Right, but if the wineskin, Rabbo say, is not fully full, Asr Dilma Makarkish. Because Rabbo say, if the wineskin is not full, then what? Then the Akum could move the wine around in the skin, and that ultimately, again, will render the wine Asr. Kuba Malya. Rabbo say, what about if a person has a full barrel? Right? A full barrel of wine. Kuba Malya Asr Dilma Naga. So we'll say, if the Akum is holding or is manipulating a barrel of wine, then what? Then the mice, again, if it's full, he's going to be also. Why? We'll say, Dilma Naga. Because we'll say, here's the difference. If he's manipulating the barrel, this is assuming the barrel is open, the lid of the barrel is open. If it's full, then when he grabs a hold of the side of the barrel, it's quite possible that what? That he touched the wine itself. So kuba malia, if the barrel is full, usher, then ultimately the wine will be usher. Why? Dilma naga. Because we'll say at the end of the day, perhaps he's going to go ahead and touch the wine. Right? Chaseira. But if the barrel is not full, then what? Shari. Then ultimately the contents will be mutter. Why? Delo naga. See, Rabbi say one thing is clear, which is when you're manipulating the barrel, what by definition do you do? You put your hand inside the lip of the barrel. So the concern is if the barrel is full, the akum is coming in contact, mamish direct contact with the wine. If the barrel is deficient, then lemaisa again, there's a way to kind of hold on to the lip of the barrel without coming into direct contact of the wine. Ravashi goes back to the wineskin case we just learned. So we just contrasted. So we'll say, so you see the difference over here? In the wineskin case, if the wineskin is full, again, remember now, the wineskin case we'll say has two pieces here. Number one, it's tied. Number two, what else? You have a mashkiach, right? The Yisrael is right there. So again, assuming that it's tied, the Yisrael is right there. So again, if the wineskin is full, the wine is mutter. Why? So because it's full, you can't move it around. If it's deficient, the akum can be meshach sheikh, even from the outside, and therefore, again, it can render it asr. So when we say asr, remember, what does asr in that case mean? Asr means asr b'shtiyah in that case, right? It's going to be mutter ba'ana, but asr b'shtiyah. That's case number one. Case number two, we're saying the barrel is just the opposite. In the barrel case, if it's full, it's problematic because then when the alcohol manipulates the barrel, he's going to end up touching the wine. If it's deficient, then he can put his hand in the lip, pour the wine without any nigia. Ravashi now circles back to the wineskin case. Ravashi Amar Zeka, when it comes to the wineskin case, Bein Malya, Bein Chasera Shari. Whether the wineskin is full or whether the wineskin is deficient, is going to be motor. Why? My taima. Ein derech nisuch bekach. Because it will say, again, it's closed. Right? It's totally closed. So because it's totally closed, it will say, that's not the derech of nisuch. Remember, again, let's go back for just a moment. Even though Rabbi say, what we are doing is, we are going ahead, remember how this whole conversation starts. The whole conversation starts with a concern that an Obed Kochavim is going to turn the wine of a Jew into Yayin Nesech, into idolatrous, into libational wine. So now we extended it, and we extended it to say that any Gentile contact with wine is problematic. Despite all of that, comes along Ravashi, and Ravashi says, okay, but it still at least has to resemble a potential, still has to resemble at least the circumstances under which Nisuch could occur. No self-respecting akum is being menaseich wine in a closed leather skin, right? In a closed wine skin, I will say that's not how nisuch occurs. Nisuch could occur when the receptacle holding the wine is what? Is open. But if it's closed up, there's no nisuch that occurs over there. Therefore, Ravashi says, if the wine skin is mamish, not it closed, the wine is mutter. Whether the wineskin is full, whether the wineskin is not full, at the end of the day, the wine is going to be mutter. Why? Because ein derech nisuch bekach. Now look at Rashi for just a moment, we'll say. This is Rashi, four lines down on the wide lines. Ein derech nisuch bekach, ava bekuva malaya, ikala mechash lenegia, kishu no sin yadu asva solo, polik Ravashi aser. We'll say, but again, remember, Ravashi is only arguing in the wineskin case, not in the barrel case. Why? Because in the barrel case, the barrel is open. Because the barrel is open, there is the possibility for negia, for contact. And because of that, nisuch is a real concern. Fine. Weiter. Ma'atzra zaira. We'll say, this is actually a very interesting case. Ma'atzra zaira, Rashi points out over here, gat shein darchin, Elakovshin Bakura. So we'll say Bakura, listen to this, Rabbi Say. Up until now we've been dealing with wine presses. And what's the nature, what was the tsura of the wine press that we were dealing with? Quite simple. What is it? It's a big receptacle that has a tube at the bottom. The tube at the bottom leads, so we'll say, to what? To another receptacle, to a vat, which houses the wine. There's one more piece, which is at the end of the pipe, which leads between what we'll call the upper vat and lower vat. What is there? There's a basket, right? And that basket strains out any pieces of grape that gets in there. That's the simple vat. How do you press the wine? Very simple. You put the grapes in and you stomp. There's another type of wine press, right? Gemara points out there, where it's called Ma'atzra Zaira. We'll say, which is, if you look at Rashi, so gat de'in darchin elakovshin bakor. So we'll say, the way this wine press works is as follows. You would go ahead, we'll say, and you would have boards. And you would place those boards on top of the grapes. Those boards would be pressed down, and ultimately, again, extract the liquid. Now, what we're going to say, Abosai, is that there are two different ways that you could operate a press like that. The simple way is, you put the grapes in, you put the boards on top, and then what do? You stomp on the boards. And Abosai, so essentially, it's the same stomping, but Lamaisa, because you're applying your pressure on the boards, your pressure is diffused amongst a large, much larger area, and you get a lot more productivity. Fine. That's one possibility. The other possibility I will say is that you would have boards that are laid down across the grapes. Then you would have another board that would go across the grapes. And then essentially you would have like a screw system. And that screw system, as you would turn that screw would apply pressure that essentially is laid down perpendicular against the other boards, essentially pressing down the boards on top of the grapes. So for me, no stomping. All I'm doing is what? Is turning the screw. That's all I'm doing, is turning the screw. So we'll say that's called a ma'atzra zaira. So we'll say a papa shari. So what's the shaila? The shaila is what happens if at the end of the day the akum worked that press? Let's say the akum worked that grape press. So we'll say, now we're assuming right now for just a moment. Well, let's analyze this. So the akum works that press. So what's the halacha? Rav Papa Shari. Rav Papa said the wine is mutter. Rav Ashi vitim Rav Simra Ashi aser. And Rav Ashi, another say Rav Simra Ashi said that it's aser. So I'll say, so what's the case? So bikocho. So we'll say, if we're talking about a case where it's my koach. Now remember again, what's my koach? My koach, when we say koho is the case where I put the boards over the grapes and I stomp on the board. So we'll say that's called kocho. Kocho, so it's my koach that, see, I'm not directly stomping the grapes, but it's my koach that's pushing down the board. So bikocho, kuli amalo pligi. Bikocho, kuli amalo. All right. You could check this message. This message you could check. Right? So bikocho koli amalo pligi. So ultimately, again, we'll say, if it's my koach, then what? Then the mice again, everybody agrees that it's usher. Ki pligi bikoach kocho. So we'll say, what's the shaila? If it's koach kocho. We'll say, see the difference over here? See, if I am directly stomping on the boards, that's called kocho. That is my koach. Koach kochor bosei be what? The case of where I'm turning the screw. I'm turning the screw, which is then pressing down on the perpendicular board, which is then pressing down on the other boards, which then ultimately what? Causes the grapes to be stomped. So I will say, if it's kocho, everyone will agree that what? That it's usher. If it's koach kocho, that's the machlokes. Ikedami, I will say, others have a different version. Pekoach kocho, kuli amalo pligi dishari. No. In the case of koach kocho, I will say, everybody agrees that it's mutter. Ki pligi, so where do they argue? Bikocho. Where do they argue? They argue in the case of kocho. So hava ubda bikoach kocho. We'll say there was once an episode with koach kocho, which we'll say means the case of where the akum was turning the screws on the press. Va'aser Rav Yaakov minar pikod. And we'll say Rav Yaakov said that even in the case of koach kocho, it will be aser. So we'll say, sounds like from the Gemara over here, that even having the akum work the press, which is the koach kocho press, which is all the akum is doing is turning the screws. It sounds like the conclusion of the Gemara over here is that will still be usher. Even not only is, so you both say, I just want to be clear. So now we have three stages. Stage number one is where the akum is pressing the grapes with his feet. That's called gufo. That's going to be usher, right? So we'll say second case is koho, which is the boards are placed on top of the grapes and the akum stomps the grapes. So that sounds like what? That sounds like that's going to be usher. Now we'll say koach koho is the case of where he's causing the boards to press down on the grapes through turning the screws. That's koach koho. That's secondary force. And we'll say it sounds like over here, that's going to Rabbi Yaakov, at least of Narpakod, said that was usher as well. Ha'u chavisa. So we'll say go weiter. Listen to this case. So there was a barrel of wine, right? A Yiddish barrel of wine, a Jewish barrel of wine. And what happens? Well, say the barrel split down its length, right? They split down the length of the barrel. So we'll say, so what happens? So in Idri Hahu Oved Kochavim. So we'll say, so again, you see the same lesson that we started out with before. Idri means what? The Oved Kochavim sprang into action. He sprang into action, just like we said before, right? In other words, Rashi point, remember that lesson of Idri? Idri means, Rabbi Oshay, Higbia Benosa Esatzmo. It's hard to get yourself moving in life, right? Our natural state is at rest. So the Nachri, he springs into action. Chupka. We'll say, what did he do? He hugged the barrel. He's not a barrel hugger, right? He's not a barrel hugger. But I will say the idea over here is the barrel is split. What is he trying to do? He's trying to go ahead and keep the barrel from splitting more and ultimately causing a loss of wine. So I'll say, but what's the shaila now? Rashi says, Chafka, Bainzra, Osa, Vechibra, Achevi, Uklis. We'll say, obviously, this barrel is gone. So the goal is, let's bring other utensils so that we could salvage the wine, I guess, most probably through the spigot. So they'll probably get the wine through the spigot. And let's go ahead and say he hugs it until somebody else can bring kalim. So we'll say, so now the shaila is what? What's the status of the wine? So the Gemara says, Sharye Rafram Bar Papa, Vitim Rafun Bar Yoshua, Lizabuni La Ovde Kohavim. So we'll say, so they allowed, so Rafram Bar Papa, or let's say Rafun Bar Yoshua, permitted the Jewish owner of the wine to sell the wine to Ovde Kohavim. So we'll say, so it's going to be Asr Bishtia, but totally Mutter Ba'ana. Okay, look at Rashi just a moment. We'll say, "Lizabunili ofti kochavim." The halo shich sheikh. Remember, obviously, this is the case. The akum was not meshach sheikh, meaning he didn't agitate the wine at all. Vafilu shekire v'chatzon zulazu v'avi nogea b'yain ayedei chatzay achavis lo havi kenogea b'kana. Thus, meshach sheikh b'kana v'ahacha leka shich shuch midi. So we'll say, so the idea over here is there's mamish no shikshuch. But what you do have is direct akum contact with the wine, with the barrel housing the wine. If a Rafram Bar Papa or a Funabri of Yeshua said, you can get hana. You can't drink it, but you can get hana. Vahani mili dipaka la orka. Rabbi will say, this is only true if what? If it's split down the length of the barrel. Avalafusye afilu bishtia shari. I will say, if it's split up, across the width, so we'll say, imagine for a moment, the barrel doesn't split down the length, but the barrel splits against the width. So we'll say, now imagine for a moment, the akum comes along, and what does the akum do? I will say, now the Pashal Suki Rashi, Aval the Fusi Rashi says, Hoyo ve'in levdalos zemizeh. So we'll say, if it splits again across the width, so the ma'isa then, the two parts are not separate from one another. Shari chetzia elyon yoshev ala tachton, ela shiyotze ma'at ma'at, So listen to this. If it's split according to the width, they'll say, what's the issue? The issue is gravity does most of the work. Because remember, again, the upper half of the barrel is going to just continue to sit on the bottom half of the barrel. The difference is some of the wine will continue to leak out. So all the Ovi Kochav really needs to do is apply pressure to the top of the barrel in order that it sits squarely on the bottom. So the Gemara says, in that case, the wine will be mutter afilu b'shtia, right? The wine will be mutter ultimately, again, even for drinking, which means we'll say totally mutter ba'ana. What's the reason? My taima, my salavina ka'avid. Because we'll say essentially, the akum is acting as a brick. In other words, you could have just as easily accomplished the same thing by what? Putting a brick on top of the barrel. I just need something to weigh it down. So we'll say, so the one makes a distinction over here between if it splits down the length or it splits down the width. If it splits down the length, so that the akum is mamish, one responsible for saving the wine. So there's really a lot of direct contact there. And therefore what? And therefore, alocha lemaisa. And therefore, alocha lemaisa, it'll be asr b'shtia. Totally mutter ba'ana, but asr b'shtia. If it splits according to the width, the akum's not really doing anything. It's acting as the brick. And therefore, again, and therefore, it'll be mutter even b'shtia. Good. Ho ove kochabim dishtachach davikayim b'ma'atzarta. So let's listen to this case. They found an ove kochabim, that what? Who was going ahead and standing by the wine press of the Jew. So look at Rashi just a moment. It's almost right across in Rashi. Davikai ma'atzarta b'Yisrael. He was standing by the wine press of the Jew. V'lo haya b'yayin elamashke tofeach alehim. So we'll say, listen to this case. He was standing by the wine press of the Jew. Now the truth is, there was only really like grape juice residue in the press. The shaila is, do we assume that the alkum touched that wine, that grape juice residue, or not? In other words, what's the status over here? Rav Ashi says it depends. So we'll say, Rashi says it depends. If there's enough moisture, we'll say tofeach latfiach means that there's enough moisture to what? That to go ahead and that it's wet and it could cause something else to be wet as well. So in other words, there's enough moisture, again, that mamish, if you touch it, that it's wet. And if you apply it to something else, it could cause it to be wet as well. So there's enough significant liquid there. Then what? Then about say the press is going to require hadacha and niguv. Now we will discuss hadacha means a rinsing, niguv rabosai means a purging. We're going to get to this later on, Abosai, that there is a process, ultimately, again, for kashering a press in which there was Yayin Nesech. So again, those two processes for kashering a press in which there was Yayin Nesech requires Hadacha, which means a rinsing, and Nigov. Rashi kind of gives us coming attractions over here. Rashi says, Nigov is Efer Umayim. Right? It really means you need ashes and water. So it's going to be purged through ashes and then cleansed again through water. So if there's enough liquid residue in that press that it's moist and it could cause something else ultimately again to become wet as well, then it needs to be kashered. Ve'i lo. But if there's not tofeach amanas latfeach, there's only a little bit of residue, but not enough to make something else wet, then what? Ba'adacha ba'ami sagiluhu. All you need to do is rinse out the press and you're good to go. So we'll say again, I want to be clear. We didn't do justice to that sugya. The Gemara is not doing justice to that sugya. That's going to be a sugya bifne atzma about how to go ahead and kashra press after Yayin Nesach. Good. Says the Mishnah. We'll say weiter. Oved kochavim shenimtza omid betzad habar shal yayin. So we'll say, listen to this. I find an akum standing by the pit of wine of a Jew. So we'll say, what's my shiloh? Now again, looks like he's minding his own business. But Lemaisa, do I have to be concerned that what? Maybe it was Meshach Sheikh the wine, right? Maybe he went ahead and made it into Yayin Nesech. So what's the halacha? Im yeshlo milva alav aser. Shabbos say, if the Jew owes the Akum money, then ultimately the wine is going to be aser. We have to assume that it's Yayin Nesech. Ein lo milva alav. But if the Jew does not owe the Akum money, then what? Mutter. Then ultimately the wine will be mutter. So we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Miesh la milva alav, Miesh la milva al Yisrael. If the Jew owes the Akum money, then ultimately the wine is aser. Why? Lefishelo yare liga. So we'll say, see, under normal circumstances, so an Akum is going to be somewhat fearful of going ahead and making the wine of a Jew into Yayin Nesech. What I will say? Now this is based on what we learned in yesterday's sugya. What did we learn in yesterday's sugya? That Lemaise, again, as much as the wine is Asr Ba'ana, I can collect damages from the Akum who made, I can't sell it, but I can collect damages from the Akum. So the Akum knows, Rabosai, that as much as it might be, you know, fun for him to turn the wine of a Jew into Yayin Nesech, there are ramifications of that. So what the Mishnah points out of here is as follows. So under normal circumstances, there's a Yira, he's fearful of doing it. However, if the Jew owes the Akum money, the Akum is not fearful. Why? Chazman of Shach Rabosai. What's the worst case scenario? Well, best case scenario is, I make it into Yayin Nesech and what? The Jew never finds out. Worst case scenario, he finds out in what? And what? I'll get repaid through the wine. It's not a big deal. I mean, he owes me money anyway. So whether he pays me in cash or he pays me in wine, that's the worst case scenario, right? Worst case scenario, even if I'm found out, he'll pay me back in the wine. So I'll say, therefore, the Akum really has no incentive not to make it into Yayin Nesech. And therefore, again, the wine will be usher. Ein lo milva alav. If the Jew does not owe the Akum any money, then what Rabbi say? Then the Akum runs the possibility of suffering a loss if it's found out that he made the wine into Yayin Nesech. But say, listen to this case. Nafa labar. Let's say the Akum falls in to the pit of wine. Falls into the pit of wine. Mamshi falls into the Jewish pit of wine. So say what happens? Va'ala, and he comes out. Or madaza bekana. Right? So we'll say, these are all, listen to these cases. Madad abakana, we'll say, means what? That he goes in and he measures the amount of wine in the pit. Or, hitiz esatzir, so we'll say, madad abakana means he puts a reed in there. Now, the pashtos, if he's putting a reed in there, what's happening? He's going ahead and he's moving the reed around. Rashi points out over here now that the novelty in this case is what? Is that we'll say, in all of these cases, we're going to see it's clear that his intention is, even though he's agitating the wine, his intention is not for any type of libational purposes, right? He's measuring the wine for the Yisrael. Or he fell into the wine, he just wants to get out. Or hit his esatzira. Or Rabbi said there was a bee in the wine, and what does he do? He chases it out. So, but Bekana, with a reed, Oshayem at piach, al piachavis. Merusachos, or Rabbi say the wine was foaming, and what does he do? He taps down on the lid of the wine to kind of cause the foam to dissipate, as if one of the wine is fermenting. In all of these cases, bechol elu hayamais. We'll say all of these cases happen, and the psak halacha was va'amru yimacher. The rabbis said, you should sell the wine. Sell the wine, which we'll say is another way of saying that what? It's asr b'shtiyah, mutar b'ana. These are all cases, Rabbi say, of contact with the wine, where it's clear circumstantially that there's no fear of Yayin Nesech. He fell into the wine, right? He's going in, he's measuring the wine, he's chasing away a bee from the wine, he's getting rid of the foam from the wine. So it's clear circumstantially that his kavanas have nothing to do with libational purposes. Nevertheless, Asr b'shtia mutter ba'no. So the Gemara says, Reb Shimon matir. Reb Shimon says it's mutter. Reb Shimon says it's mutter even what? Even b'shtia. Even for drinking. So not alasachavis v'zarka b'chamasa labar. So we'll say, what happens if the Akum takes a barrel and he throws it in anger into the pit of wine? So we'll say, in this case over here, what's happening? He's taking an object. Now that barrel is empty, right? He's taking a barrel, he's throwing it. So we'll say, what is he doing? He's causing the wine to be agitated. This seems to be a case of kocho. He throws it in a fit of anger into the pit. Zehayamaisa, this actually happened. Vichshiru. And the rabbis said, ultimately again, the wine is permitted, afilu b'shtia. Okay, so let's analyze these cases. Amar Shmuel, Bahushi Shabosei, let's go with the first case. First case was, I find the Akum standing by the pit of Jewish wine. So what did the Mishnah say? If I owe the Akum money, then what? Then the wine is usher. If I don't owe the Akum money, then the wine is mutter. So it says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Vahushi Yishlo Milva al Ose Yayin. We'll say it's not just the pshat that I owe the Akum money, but it's rather that what? That the wine that he's standing next to, Rabosai, is what? Is the collateral for the loan. The wine, that wine that he's standing next to is the collateral. Rabosai. So now it makes sense. If the wine that he's standing next to is collateral, I have to assume that what? That the wine is Yayin Nesach. Why? Because the Akum has absolutely no reason not to make it into Yayin Nesach. Because Yuman of Shach, if he's not caught, fantastic. He just got the Jew to drink Yayin Nesach. And if he is caught, what's the big deal? He'll just accept that wine as payment for his loan. So the Gemara says, Amar Vashi Masnisin Namidego. Our Mishnah seems to support this reading as well. This nun, Hamitaher Yeno Shal Ovdiko Chamim Venosno Bishuso. We'll say if a person goes ahead and is Mitaher the wine of an Ovdiko Chamim. Which Jebosa means what? This is a case ultimately of where a Jew is producing wine for an Akum in a state of Tara. So we'll say, the Akum wants to produce wine. This is actually the next Mishnah. The Akum wants to produce wine that he could sell to Jews. So we'll say, so what does he do? He hires a Jew to run his wine business. So that's Hamitar Yeno Sha'ovdikom. So the Jew runs the wine business of an Akum. But of course, has to do it in a state of Tara so that he can sell it to other Jews. Vinos no birshu so. But the wine itself is kept in the rishus of the Akum. Valo kosov lo, and the Akum writes to the Jewish kabalti mimcha ma'os. So we'll say, what essentially what the Gentile does, the Akum does, is he conveys ownership of the wine to the Jew, right? But essentially now the Jew owes the Akum for the money for the wine. So mutter, the Rebbe says such an arrangement ultimately again will be mutter. Avalim yirtze Yisrael otzia ve'imanicho, ad shitin ma'osav. Rabbi says, if you have a situation where the Jew is producing wine for the Akum, but the Jew doesn't have access to the wine unless, of course, the Jew first pays the Akum in full. This happened in Beishan, v'asru, and ultimately, again, Chazal said the wine is going to be asr. Why? Taima de imanicho. Because I'll say the reason ultimately again is because the Akum doesn't allow the Jew access to the wine. Hamanicho shari. Ultimately again, but if the Jew had access to the wine, then it would be mutter. Shmamina milval osayin ba'ina shmamina. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that lemaisa again. Lemaisa, that the issue at play over here is only when the wine itself is collateralized for the halva. When the wine itself is collateralized for the halva, that's when we're choshish that ultimately the wine may become yayin nesach. So just to bring this back to our case in the Mishnah. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, in the case of the Mishnah, Bosai, when the Akum is standing next to the wine that is collateral for his debt, then we're choshish that what? That he touched it. Why? Because we'll say he has nothing to lose. Because at the end of the day, man of shach, either he'll get away with it, but even if he's caught, what's the big deal? He'll just get paid with that wine, which was already collateralized for the debt. But when the wine that is standing next to is not collateralized for a debt that he has against the Yisrael, then we'll say in that case, we're not choshish that the Akum is going to just touch the wine. Why? Because lemaisa again, if found out, he would be chayiv ultimately again to pay for damages. We'll say, let's do another piece. Nafal abar va'ala. If he falls into the pit and he comes out of the pit. So we'll say, remember again, the Gemara said, the Mishnah said, that the wine is aser b'shtia, muter ba'ano. Says the Gemara, Amar Papa, listen to this. Lo shanu ela sha'ala meis. That's only if he came up dead. We'll say, now what does that mean? That's true if he drowned in the bar. right? If he drowned in the bar, then we'll say the wine is aser b'shtia, but mutar ba'ano. But we'll say, but listen to this. Aval Allah chai, if he comes out, right? If he comes out ultimately again alive, then what? So we'll say, so Rashi also points out over here that dead doesn't just have to mean dead. Dead could also mean unconscious, right? He's pulled out of the pit unconscious. So we'll say, now why is that? But again, if he's pulled out alive or conscious, it's going to be us or why? My time, Amar Papa. Didami ale kiyom idam. Because Rabbi say, if he's saved from a Jewish pit of wine, ain yamtiv gedola mizo. Right? In other words, that's a yamtiv. And he's certainly going to thank his Avodah Zarah. Rabbi say, some people might thank the Avodah Zarah for falling into that pit to begin with. I'm saying that for many, that would be a yamtiv in and of itself. But the Gemara says over here, when we say that the wine doesn't become usr, in other words, it becomes usr b'shtichas, also as we've seen already, anytime you're going to have direct Gentile contact, akum contact with wine, that wine is always going to be at least usr b'shtia. So when do we say that it's mutar ba'ano? That's when you're hauling his body out, either dead or unconscious. If he's getting out of his own volition, he's getting out on his own, then you have to assume, again, he was just saved from a life-threatening experience, which means that he's certainly going to give hodah, he's going to give thanks to his Avodah Zarah. The assumption is he will be Meshach Sheikh. He will go ahead and he will move that wine as well. And therefore, again, Aloch Lamaiso treat it like a Yomtiv. And therefore, again, it will be Aser. All right, so we'll stop over here. I'll share with you a short idea on the Parashah.